Blog Hello. Talk Radio.
AVS Media Demo.
Good evening, to each and every one of you. You're now listening to the Monday Night Avon Motivational Radio Show. Each week we have various guests that come on to the show and help you as an Avon representative take your Avon business to the next level. I'm going to put you on a brief pause because I have to have Ivan come on because he's having difficulties logging in. Hold on.
You got 347-855-818-001.
I dialed you. I'm on the other phone. I hear you now. Okay, I'm gonna hang up on this cell phone and I'm gonna go back on the broadcast and plug you in.
Okay.
Okay, everyone. Okay, I think we have. Let me see if I can find him now. Ivan. Ivan? Yeah, okay,
yes,
hi. Okay, great. Yes, you were trying to you were calling me when I was trying to log in. My cell phone is dead. So, okay, so great, so we have you on, thank goodness. And I'd like to welcome you to the show. And before we begin, although I sent out your bio that came from your website, you know, some people didn't get the bio because they're on Facebook and I send the information out there. So can you tell the listening audience a little bit about yourself?
Sure. My name is Dr. Hernandez. I'm a physical therapist. I've been practicing for nearly 15 years. I own two practices in Westchester County, which is predominantly a general practicing outpatient facility. We see the common musculoskeletal ailments, shoulder pain, low back pain, knee, ankle, post-operative care, some neurological cases. I think what's made us distinct recently, certainly myself, as a sole clinician, is that what we've looked into recently is the injury that the patient is coming in with, but we go beyond that and analyze the entire movement system and see how other parts of the body may be contributing to the problem that the patient is coming in for.
Mm-hmm. Very good. You know, I know some of the people are listening to the show must be saying, well, why did you have a physical therapist come on the show to talk about, you know, their back and this and that and the other? But as you know, Ivan, as Avon representatives, you know, we are responsible for placing orders, and we get these boxes in which we have to carry tons of boxes, and then when we're doing vending, we're carrying our boxes, our tent, and this and that and the other. So, I know sometimes I hear some of the Avon representatives complain about their back. So my question to you, is low back pain common, and if so, why is it so prevalent?
You know, low back pain, without a doubt, is the most common musculoskeletal condition that people seek medical attention for and certainly rehabilitation. In fact, in this country, we spend about $50 billion annually just on the management of back pain, and that includes diagnostic workups, MRIs, X-rays, CAT scans, pharmaceuticals. It involves rehab care, physical therapy, chiropractic, alternative medicines like acupuncture. So, it's very common. In fact, it's the second most common reason people take off of work. But you know, the good thing, and I often tell patients, for sake of consolation, but sake of giving them statistics as well, is that most of these cases, the good majority of them, do get better within a six-week frame. In fact, over 90% of people that have an episode of back pain will get better by the ninth week. And this is without any intervention. Certainly, intervention will help to expedite it and guide the healing in such a way that it doesn't come back. But, you know, these are the statistics, and it's very common. I think one of the most common reasons it's prevalent is because, or one of the better reasons, is because modern-day society habits. You know, we've moved into a era now where, with the advances in technology, we're sitting down a lot. We're using computers more often than they're not. We're not as physically active. We're spending about 8 hours. It's not uncommon where people spend 8 hours sitting down during the day, and you know, you add a couple more hours when you get home after dinner. Mm-hmm. So all this sitting puts stress on our back and puts stress on the ligaments and the tissues that hold our disc in place. I think, you know, you have to consider the obesity pandemic. We're certainly a larger society more than ever before. Two-thirds of our population are overweight. It's just a number of things. But I would say between, you know, the sitting, between our obesity rates, you know, those are two of the bigger players as to why we do get musculoskeletal pain, certainly low back pain in that category.
What can we do as Avon representatives? You know, again, we're lifting these boxes, and these boxes, they're pretty big, and quite often they're very, very heavy. What can we do to...
Generally, when you're first of all, a lot of these conditions are preventable, and certainly there are a lot of modifiable factors that we could address to mitigate the effects of low back stress and prevent these encounters of low back pain altogether. But from a mechanical standpoint, the things that we could do are bending out with our knees and keeping whatever we're lifting, whatever object it is, even if it's a baby, close to our body. The farther out the object is that we're carrying, the more stress on our back. And you know, if you look at basic human anatomy, our low back is the region where it takes about 60% of our body weight is resting on our low back. So it's a source of a lot of compression. And so when you add just the inherent source of compression because we are erect mammals, and then you couple that with bad body mechanics, lifting at the waist, for example, with a rounded back, it's almost certain that with time, the tissues in the low back break down, and eventually that breakdown leads to pain.
Ivan, is there anything that we can do, like preventative care? Like, should we go see a person like your physical therapist before?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, what's common in the medical arena and certainly other healthcare arenas, the dental arena, is, you know, oftentimes a patient would see his or her optometrist twice a year, or once a year, rather, and a dentist twice a year, and their general practitioner several times a year. And part of the reason for that is to get screened, to look at biomarkers that determine the integrity of a particular system. So we go to our general practitioner and we look at our blood chemistries, we look at our blood pressure, or we'll go to the dentist and look for dental caries. You know, and so a lot of these healthcare professionals have these markers that determine where we fall, you know, according to normative data. But when it comes to movement, the very thing that when we lack, when we have a lack of quality of, when it comes to movement, we really don't have these biomarkers that exist in the healthcare arena up until recently. I think the fundamental component in terms of what prevents pain, low back pain included, is analyzing human movement. How do we move? As babies, we have milestones that we always look to achieve. You know, there are questions that parents and doctors always ask. You know, is the baby standing yet, or cruising, or walking, or even before that, crawling, things like that. And as adults, we tend to lose sight of these physical movement milestones. And I think it's these very milestones that determine the integrity of our musculoskeletal system and our movement system. And I think when we don't have these milestones, we're subject to compensation, thereby leading to stress in other areas. So, you know, what does this mean in plain English? If you can't touch your toes, for example, it's an indication that many of the tissues in the back of your body, your posterior chain, is tight. If you can't squat, it's an indication that your core stability may be limited, or your ankles may be tight, or your hips may be a bit rigid, or your mid-spine may be rigid. So when it comes to low back pain and everything else within that musculoskeletal system, shoulder pain, neck pain, I think what's important is we need to, first of all, as healthcare professionals, understand the importance of analyzing movement. But just importantly, it's important that we educate the public that movement is an essential biomarker that determines how well we're going to move and participate in daily activities, recreational activities. What's interesting is that the number one reason for injuries, and this is well documented, all injuries, back pain included, is previous injury. Mm. And, you know, you got to ask yourself, why is that the case? Why is previous injury the number one reason for future injury? And the reason why, when you kind of look into the research, is that after an injury, and even after the resolution of the injury, after the pain goes away and tissue damage has resolved, people tend to move funny. And when I say funny, in very subtle ways, in ways that, when not corrected, continues to place compensation in other areas, those areas being your low back. So my take-home message for any of your listeners tonight would be go to a physical therapist. Go to certainly a physical therapist who specializes in movement analysis and the treatment of the movement analysis, and determine if in fact you are at risk or any musculoskeletal condition, knee, shoulder, ankle, and certainly the low back. That would be the major risk factor that I would address. Mm-hmm. The other risk factor, things that I already have mentioned, is BMI, body mass index. One of the ways that you could prevent a host of injuries, whether it's, well, usually the cumulative injuries, things that aren't traumatic related but occur over a period of time, is your BMI, your body mass index. So the lighter you are, the less injury we have. That's basically what it comes down to. So stay light, stay within, you know, the boundaries of what's considered normal. I know BMI is a rough estimate, your body mass index. Certainly for some recreational and athletic individuals, but, you know, for the most part, BMI is a good indicator of it's a good indicator to know if, in fact, we're at risk for low back pain.
Wow.
Probably the other factor when considering the size of the individual's body fat, because if you're lean but have a relatively high BMI, then it's not as bad as if we lack muscle but have a lot of fat mass.
Yeah.
And then I guess the last component in terms of prevention of low back pain would be avoid prolonged sitting. You know, the new adage now is sitting is the new smoking.
Wow.
You know, when we tend to think of smoking, we tend to think of all the deleterious physiological effects that happen. But, you know, there's a host of things that happen when we sit for prolonged periods of time. You know, not only the blood chemistry is altered and it leads to obesity, but it puts a lot of stress on the low back. So when we sit, we need to sit with good posture. Generally, I recommend a lumbar roll, which is a small little pillow that keeps the normal contour of the spine, that little cavity that's in the low back, especially for the Avon reps that are driving long distances or driving throughout the day. You may want to consider using a lumbar roll in your car.
And then get that from where?
You could get a lumbar roll from a number of different places. Surgical supply stores have it. Some pharmacies have it. You could certainly order them online. And if all else fails, come to Executive Park Physical Therapy. We sell them at the office. We're at 1034 North Broadway in Yonkers. And 565 North State Road in Briarcliff, New York.
As, I don't know if you know, but my district is in Yonkers. We're on Warburg Avenue. So okay. a lot of the Avon reps on the call are from that area. So give them that exact boulevard address.
It's across the street, or yeah, diagonally across the street from St. John's Hospital. It's at 1034 North Broadway. The landmarks that most people are familiar with is Dunkin' Donuts or Gianna's Restaurant. We're right upstairs above them.
Very good. Very, very good. What would you suggest, you know, for Avon Rescue? We carry our little books. You know, we carry our books. We carry samples. Sometimes we try to keep a kit, a little notebook, and maybe just little things to go throughout our day, in addition to our pocketbook. What should we, as Avon representatives, carry? Should we carry like a little wheeler, or should we just put everything in one big shopping bag?
Yeah, you know, a lot of it, you know, that's a tough question, somewhat of a tough question, because, you know, there's several considerations that you want to make. You know, certainly not everyone is going to be willing to use one of those rolling carts, mainly because of the stigma attached to it. But, you know, that's, you know, the less load on the spine over a period of time, the better. So, you know, that's why it's not uncommon to see students nowadays using something like that. But if that's not an option, you know, my recommendation generally is to have a wide distribution of force. So something like a knapsack that goes over both shoulders would be the better case scenario, as opposed to putting something over one shoulder. Because what's happening is you're putting stress on one side of the body, and if you don't alternate sides, you end up getting overload to that side, and it starts to lead to breakdown and potentially pain. So, you know, the most unloaded environment would be one of those wheelers, but I think next to that would be something that allows an equal distribution of weight from side to side. That would be a knapsack. And if that's not an option, then I would say, you know, use a over-the-shoulder bag, but alternate sides and keep it light. I would say, you know, you would want to keep it under 10 pounds. Anything over 10 pounds, you want to start to wear something that gives you more security and more distribution of force in your upper body. So if it's under 10 pounds, and I often tell, you know, this is not uncommon. I see it oftentimes, particularly with women where they have a pocketbook, and I say, you know, they're coming in with neck or back pain or shoulder pain, and I tell them, you know, lessen the amount of weight as much as possible. So if there's anything that you don't need, take it out, because a lot of these pains that happen in the spine, neck, shoulder, back, mid-spine, is oftentimes the result of cumulative stress. So it's not always you know, the fall from the ladder or a car accident, it's often little micro stress that starts to add up. So if you could take off even a pound or a few pounds, that'll make a difference over the course of a day, certainly a week and certainly a month and, you know, going forward.
Well, that certainly is very good advice. And I've seen some A-Rod reps, especially the senior ones, they carry, not the senior, we call it, that's a higher level in our ranking, and they're carrying those luggage, overnight suitcase, and that's where they carry their little book, they pack that little stuff up, and then they roll that around. So that's another option. They don't carry more of things. And Staples has one that looks like a crate. I think Gill and Clark in my district had one of those. So, yeah, I totally agree with you. You should have an equal distribution of the weight. And if it's 10 pounds, it's definitely the maximum.
Yeah, well, anything beyond that, especially if you're standing and walking for periods of time, and you have, you know, a certain amount of weight on you, it starts to add up. You know, you know, people don't realize, but the extra weight that we put on our body, whether it's in a bag or if it's, you know, our body itself in the form of fat, all the extra pounds, what the body experiences is actually multiples of those pounds. Especially when you're walking, you know, every time we walk and we take a step, the forces that go up the body are in the upwards of 1 to 2 times the body weight. And when you start going up and down stairs, if you negotiate stairs with this weight, it's sometimes even more than that, up to 3 to 4 times your body weight. So you got to realize every pound that you're carrying extra, multiply that by 2 or by 4 if you're going up and down stairs. And that's the stress that you're putting through your body. So, you know, shaving off 1, 2, or 5 pounds makes a difference in the long term.
Mm. Let me ask you a question. Now, I know that maybe some people will listen to the radio show, so you know they are experienced or may not be experienced lower back pain, and they want to either go seek help or they want to be proactive. And they're torn between a physical therapist and a chiropractor. Can you tell the listening audience what's the difference between a physical therapist and a chiropractor?
That's a good question. Thanks for the question. I hear that a lot. I got to tell you, this is almost blasphemous coming from the mouth of a physical therapist, but I would say there is no difference. I would say it's not the terminal degree that makes the difference in the treatment that a patient receives for musculoskeletal pain, be it low back pain. It's more of the methodology. What are you actually going to do with the patient? Because when you think about it, when you get down to nitty-gritty, we both use our hands. We both use machines called passive modalities, whether it's electrical stim and ultrasound and cold laser. We both do tape applications. Some of your listeners may have heard of different types of tapes that's used, kinesio tape, rock tape. You know, you sometimes see it when watching professional athletes on TV. But a lot of the tools that we have are very similar.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's the tools that distinguish the discipline. I think it's the individual person and the methodology that we use. So if I'm very movement-oriented, if I'm treating the patho-anatomical region, so what does that mean? Someone comes in and their back hurts, so I'm treating their back, and I'm giving them care to reduce pain with manual therapies and stim and ultrasound and stretching to manage the pain initially and leave it there. I think I'm disservicing a patient. But if I go beyond that and analyze the way their body moves to understand if there's a dysfunction that will either perpetuate or predispose that patient to a future injury, then I'm doing my job because I'm looking at the problem now and the problem that might lie ahead. And a chiropractor could do the very same thing if they use that particular methodology. There's a methodology that has been well studied. It's basically a movement paradigm where we look at these different physical milestones that the adult should have. And this is after the acute pain has passed. And so after the acute pain has passed, we're looking at how the body moves relative to these milestones. Could you touch your toes? Could you bend backwards? Could you squat below parallel? Could you rotate to both sides equally? Could you stand on one leg? And these are the things that, you know, it's interesting. We have as babies, but, you know, we, because of responsibilities and other circumstances and the era we live in, we tend to lose these milestones. So if you're going to a professional that's looking at these things beyond the problem that the patient is coming in with, then I think that carries more weight than the terminal degree itself. So I guess, in short, it depends.
Okay.
It depends. I know that most you know, most of the lay public, when they think of chiropractic, they think of snap, crackle, pop, you know, just adjustments. But you know what? Physical therapists do the same thing. We do adjustments. We do mobilizations. It's not a whole lot different, you know. I think it's who do we do, you know, I often tell students, you know, I could give my son a toolbox, but that doesn't make him a carpenter. It's what you do with the tools. And, you know, I think chiropractors and physical therapists share very similar tools. It's how you use the tools to manage someone's problem.
Well, I think we have time for maybe one more question. And some people I know, I see them, even in class, I see them like a little, a back brace. Would you recommend that? Wearing a back brace?
You know, during the acute phase, like if one were to hurt themselves today and they have a lot of back pain and they could hardly move, generally my recommendations are about 2 days of bed rest, perhaps anti-inflammatory drugs like Motrin, Advil, things like that. And you know, if in fact the patient needs to get up and about, I generally recommend using a brace, but that brace is recommended not more than 3 days. Because what happens is it does give you extra stability, but when you use that extra stability too much, what tends to happen is that your body's own bracing system, its own stabilizers start to weaken. You get to a point of diminishing returns with the belt. I generally will use a belt during acute episodes, so 72 hours up until maybe a week. And then during heavy lifts, so if you're going to move a piano or a sofa, you know, oftentimes you'll see someone in, you know, the associates in Home Depot having their belt handy so that in the event they lift something heavy, they have it. Or, you know, you'll see a power lifter with a belt. Those are the time when you're lifting something heavy, unusually heavy for you, I would recommend the belt. But other than that, other than acute episodes and other than heavy lifting, I generally don't like using lumbar belts, lumbar stabilization belts.
Well, it's 9 o'clock, so before we end the broadcast, can you once again tell my listening audience your different locations and the phone numbers, if you can?
Sure. I have a location in Yonkers, New York. It's on North Broadway, 1034 North Broadway, diagonally across the street from St. John's. It's, if you know Gianna's restaurant, a nice Italian restaurant, it's next door to Dunkin' Donuts. We're right upstairs on the second floor. no need, there are no stairs necessary to access the office. There's a small ramp on the side, so it is wheelchair accessible and accessible to most. We have plenty of parking in the Yonkers office. And then the other location is 565 North State Road in Briarcliff, New York. And we're diagonally across the street from Club Fit.
Oh, very good. And you take most insurance?
I take, yes, I take most insurances. The office in Briarcliff is slightly a bit different. I only see one patient an hour, so I'm a little more selective with the insurances that I take there.
Mm-hmm. And once again, give the people who are listening the name of your business.
The name of the business is Executive Park Orthopedic and Sports Physical Therapy. Executive Park Physical Therapy.
And one thing we didn't specify, you treat people of all ages, correct?
Yes. I treat from pediatric to geriatric. So as long as it's musculoskeletal involved or a condition that's within the realm of outpatient care, then yes, we treat.
Well, thank you so much, Ivan, and sorry for the mix-up with the phone numbers. And we look forward to having you get on the show for in future. We have so much to talk about. And I know that your wife is coming on in June to talk about nutrition. So we're very excited about that, to make it a whole family affair. So with that, Ivan, let's say good night. And to the Avon representative, I want to say good night to them as well. And they can re-listen to this broadcast by clicking on the link that was provided, and they can go back and listen to it. So you may want to even share this link with not only your downline, but even family and friends. This is very good information for anyone who may be concerned about their back health. So with that being said, everyone, good night, and make it happen. Take care, everyone.
AVS Media Demo. AVS Media.